So I will ask the clerk to call the roll.
Roll call, Director Bilodeau?
Present.
Director Green?
Yes.
Director Nguyen? Director Yeo?
Here.
Director Whitaker?
Here.
Director Ta?
Here.
Director Rowe?
Here.
Director Mendoza? Director Ma'ai?
Here.
Director Sheldon? You do have a quorum.
Great. Are there any items received too late to be agendized?
There are none.
Great. Now's the time for visitor participation. If anyone would like to address the board on any on or off agenda items, please identify yourself, unmute yourself. You see anyone, Madam Clerk?
I do not.
Great.
Mr. Chairman, I would like to let you know I've joined the meeting. Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, thanks for letting me know. Okay, that'll bring us to the consent calendar, which is one item, which are the meeting minutes from the last meeting.
Move the consent calendar.
We have a motion, and I'll second the motion. If you can call the roll, Madam Clerk.
Roll call, Director Bilodeau?
Yes.
Director Green?
Yes.
Director Yeo?
Yes.
Director Whitaker?
Aye.
Director Ta?
Yes.
That motion carries with 5 yes votes.
Great. That brings us to the state legislative update.
Well, good morning, Chair Bilodeau. You have Jason Gonsalves. I'll start with the good news. The good news is, as of July 1st, the legislature is on summer recess, and they will return August 1st for the final 30-day push for session. There's about 900 plus or minus bills yet to be vetted. They'll be facing fiscal committee deadlines, and then the bulk of the second half of August will be floor sessions. Before adjourning, the governor and legislative leadership negotiated, leadership meaning the speaker and pro tem, and with some input from the budget chairs, negotiated a record $308 billion state budget. As you may have known, they passed one on June 14th, which enabled them to meet the June 15th constitutional requirement and continue to be paid, which is way provision in the Constitution now. That said, they had several other sticking points to negotiate. Most notably was the what ultimately became a $9.5 billion inflation relief package, which has benefits up to $1,050 per household, depending on income thresholds and number of dependents. So that was negotiated along with 27 trailer bills to clean up what was passed on June 14th. So the point of the budget update is the state coffers are still doing well. It's a record update. I will note, though, because of Prop 98 and other constitutional pressures, the legislative analysts ran 1,000 different budget scenarios. 95% of them came back with a potential budget deficit starting in 2025. So things are good today, but challenging in the out years. Again, the final 30-day push is coming. We expect to see more trailer bills, one of which is an issue that I know Jason Eichert's going to cover. So I'll stop there and happy to answer any questions.
Great. Any questions for Jason? Hearing none, let's hear from Jason Eichert.
Thank you, Chair Bilodeau, and thank you, Jason. So just by way of starting our update on PFAS funding, to expand a little bit on what Jason said, one of the items that kind of remains and is being negotiated is $19.3 billion in what legislative leadership and the governor are calling climate investments. It's really a catch-all, and you know, Jason talked about the fact that there were items kind of right up until the end that were left to be negotiated that they hadn't reached agreement on. This is an item that they still haven't reached agreement on, and it's a significant amount of money, and embedded in that is $2.7 billion worth of funding for water infrastructure and drought resilience. But no further details than that, because they have not agreed yet as the three parties on what they want to see funded in that $2.7 billion. So obviously the lobbying that we have done throughout the year, including, you know, a newly issued letter from Assemblymember Garcia, your staff has got letters or secured letters from your delegation supporting funding for PFAS. Your staff and we have worked with numerous other stakeholders to submit letters of support for our PFAS funding requests. Those are all in play as the climate negotiations go forward and as they try and figure out exactly what goes into this $2.7 billion. Meanwhile, the budget that was adopted at the end of this month did include $50 million for PFAS funding. As you all recall, last year there was kind of a high-level agreement between the three parties to spread out $100 million in PFAS funding over the next three budget years. So that appropriation of $50 million that we were expecting did make it into the budget. But again, we, you know, have lobbied throughout the year for additional funding, and we have continued to do so. But you know, they can really continue the negotiation on this pot of funds right through the end of the year. Last year, that's in fact what they did. I mean, they did not pass the final trailer bill until well into August, appropriating the money for water and climate investments. So it's possible that will be the case this year as well. We will obviously keep you and your staff apprised as things move forward and as we learn more about how those negotiations are unfolding. But we are happy to answer questions in the meantime.
Okay, any questions?
Mr. Chair, I have quite a few questions.
Sure, go ahead.
Thank you for the presentation. On the $2.7 billion you referenced in your discussion, where do you think those funds are gonna go? And when, and you said the three leaders, you mean the Senate President, the Assembly Speaker, and the Governor? So where do you think that money's gonna go? Who are the three leaders that you referenced?
So the three leaders are definitely the Speaker, the Assembly, the President pro tem, and the Governor. So I apologize for not being clear on that. Where the money is going to go is a little bit of a harder guesswork. I mean, the truth is we've had multiple proposals on the table. So the Governor had $1.3 billion, the bulk of which was focused on things like immediate drought relief, particularly if you think about it on, you know, there are a lot of communities on the North Coast that have actually, you know, actively run out of water in their wells. So he had mostly focused his proposals earlier in the year and in May on that sort of relief, with a little bit towards items like groundwater cleanup. The Senate had a much broader proposal. They had a $7 billion water proposal that was spread out over 3 years. It included $1 billion for things like dams and flood infrastructure. It included $1 billion for things like groundwater cleanup, recycled water, et cetera. And the Assembly never put out a public proposal. So I think, you know, within the water community, there is a lot of, you know, support for, you know, cleaning contaminants. There is a lot of support for recycled water. It would not be, you know, surprising to us to find, you know, that there are investments at the end of the day on that. And again, you know, what we are hoping for is that it does include funding for PFAS contamination. There certainly is a robust effort to see that included.
So is it the pleasure of the district, speaking to my colleagues, for these funds to be, actually before I make that statement, go back to the northern areas that were running out of water. How would they fix that problem? How would the governor's money, are they going to like deliver water to their home from sparklets, or how are they going to bring water to people that can't get it?
I won't pretend to be intimately familiar with how they've spent all that money in the past, President Sheldon. It's a fair question. I think that some of it has actually gone to transporting water into communities in some instances. In other instances, it's about, you know, redesigning wells and trying to basically find a new source of water. And again, I don't mean to imply that the money will be directly appropriated to those communities, but by virtue of focusing on communities that have a kind of an immediate drought impact that are at risk of losing a water supply, it will probably, that whatever pot of funds that is, will likely be more lined up for Central Valley communities and smaller rural communities on the coast that are actively dealing with a lack of water.
Thank you. So with no commentary on our lobbyists, I think they do a great job. We have the worst PFAS problem in the state, probably in the Western states. And the state government of California has essentially shut us down. They've told us, no, they're not going to give us any money. We haven't gotten much at all, correct me if I'm wrong, of any substance from the state. So are we going to continue asking and getting nothing? I think the board should consider weighing, is the PFAS our ask, or is our ask what I've always been requesting this board to look at, is large scale water infrastructure projects. I think we should examine that issue and weigh it. And potentially is one option is to communicate with Aqua that we would like a process to identify a few large projects, and for the state water groups, associations, jurisdictions, to communicate to the big three that this is what we want funded. Or this money, in my mind, is going to get spread out over every small little project, and everyone's going to get a trinket and a gift, and nothing of any substance is going to be built to provide water supply. So, Mr. Chair, my recommendation is that we look at communicating with Aqua on having a major water supply proposal to the state for the $2.7 billion. Thank you.
Director Rowe has his hand raised.
Director Rowe, please proceed.
Okay. I think, Steve, you make a good point that we need to get funding from the state. If they say they have funding available, we should get funding for it. We have one of the largest PFAS contaminated areas in the state.
The largest.
Pardon me?
The largest.
Oh, okay. I'll agree. Immediate concern is the $50 million that I saw at the last sentence on the cover for item two, the state ledger update. And it says that there's one part for monitoring, a second part for developing tests for PFAS, and three, developing treatment based on regulations for all PFAS. And I'd just like to know, does our staff have any plans, or where are we in trying to get funding for this? And do you have any ideas what to present for funding to get this $50 million that's up for grabs right now?
I'm not sure exactly what the $50 million, Director Rowe, was. What you're saying is specifically for, not necessarily for construction for full-scale treatment, but rather for research into PFAS. And certainly we will take every opportunity to apply for any funding for any research that we do. Right now, our primary research has been, of course, in testing the different media, whether it's resin for ion exchange or carbon for granulated activated carbon. That is the main focus of our applied research. We do have other research programs with other partners, and we're continually applying for funding for that research, and we'll continue to do so.
Okay.
Kelly, if I could just jump on your question. So our staff's done a fabulous job doing research. But Mike, in summary, we don't have any plans to apply for any monies of the $50 million. We don't have any plans.
Currently, no.
Thank you.
Well, why don't we have any plans?
Right now, we're winding up our research this year on the pilot testing for the resin and the carbon. And at that point in time, others are doing research on PFAS destruction. We're looking at a potential project with the sanitation district on PFAS destruction, but that hasn't been fully developed yet to a point where we'd be able to apply for funding.
Okay, just keeping up the conversation.
But that is a potential project that we would apply for funding for research for PFAS.
Right. Well, we had a be right in front, say, how can we help? What do we need to do to move on these issues if the state feels
absolutely. Yeah, no, absolutely. And I think you, you know, from Jason's report and everything else with this potential funding from the state, you know, we're just waiting on the state to make the money available. But we're right there. And once that money becomes available, we'll be first in line as far as applying for grant funding on the work that we're currently doing, and potentially we'll be able to apply for some of the work that has been done in the past.
And we ought to look out for opportunities within our SOPA member agencies also. We all benefit from any extra funds we can get into our watershed. Thank you.
I don't think Orange County has a receptive ear from the state of California on our PFAS problem. That's how it feels to me. So it just a pleasure of the committee just on this $2.7 billion and Kathy Green being Aqua Vice President. Do we want to consider some type of a larger effort on these funds? That's all.
Okay, any other comments or questions on our state legislative?
Steve, I'm going to go ahead and talk to some people at Aqua and see if they're going to go with that.
Great. Thank you, Kathy.
And Chair Bilodeau, this is Jason Gonsalves. Real quickly, just by way of timing, you know, members' requests were past deadlines, but to the extent we have projects, to President Sheldon's point, that we can identify, provide a one pager on those projects, we would need those by late July at the latest, because when they're back in August, and quite honestly, mid to late July is probably a better timeline, so we can get them planted in the right hands. And there are some folks in the Orange County delegation I think could be very helpful if we identify such projects. So just by way of timing, we're going to have the month of August to make something happen or not.
And Jason, I'll be the even slightly or heavier version. I'd say mid July. I think it's important because, you know, it's certainly a meritorious thing to consider if it's what this board wants to do and how you guys want to approach it, especially if there's support, you know, from at a statewide level to do it. But, you know, as Jason said, you know, we are looking at kind of the final month of session here. So we definitely need to get moving if that's the way you want to go.
Well, I mean, this is Don. Sorry, I'm not on video. I'm sitting in my car, but I would be even heavier than Jason Eichert. I mean, I think here in July, you know, no one should, even if you give us one pagers and so on, I mean, I don't think there is a strong likelihood of success, regardless of how well it's lobbied, honestly, at this late date. And I would add that there is at least one large project that MWD is pushing that is probably going to get funding, large recycled water project from some funding from the state budget. You know, when the deal is finalized. And lastly, also, we have had pretty good outreach to the state board about our PFAS contamination issue. And I know Mike has even had Joaquin tour the area a couple times. And so I think that they are, doesn't mean we get money, but I think that they are really familiar with the good work and the need that the district has and the merits of awarding some funding.
And in fact, we have Chair Esquivel is very familiar with our plight down here in Orange County. We did make the pitch to him to make some of this money retroactive, and they are considering it. The state board's going to come out with their guidelines in August, and that I believe will give us an opportunity to go back and to get funding for projects that started last summer. So we have been very active in our outreach, and as I said, I believe that we're well positioned when the funding becomes available to be able to hopefully get a fairly sizable amount.
I participated in that phone meeting with Chair Joaquin, and he definitely knows our plight. I hope that they can make that happen, as Mike said, would be pleasantly surprised. It'd be great. But in light of that, I think, Kathy, I would like to, I'm looking at larger projects. The Met, the MWD project benefits Orange County. It provides water supply for their entire service area, which doesn't directly benefit Orange County Water District, but it benefits our shared ratepayers. So I think that's a good thing.
Great. Anything further on the state ledge update? And obviously, if our advocates are saying a pretty narrow path to success for getting any kind of state funding, but we could always try. And if the staff can forward to them any kind of material today or tomorrow, that'd be great. We should at least give it a shot.
Our lobbyists and staff have done a great job educating our state leaders on the situation.
Yep, for sure. So shall we move on to the federal legislative update with Mr. Saperstein?
Oh, thank you, Chair Bilodeau. Good morning, everybody. I've got three issues that I'd like to discuss with you. I'm going to take the shortest ones first, and then the last one will be the STREAM Act bill sponsored by Senator Dianne Feinstein. First, on funding, on the heels of your just had discussion, the House has approved the EPA fiscal year 23 spending bill for the Environmental Protection Agency. As a little background, Representative Kim asked for $15 million to support the water district's cleanup efforts in the basin for the PFAS contamination. The result was that the committee provided a $5 million direct grant to the water district for that effort. Now, that's one-third of the Kim request. Two things I want to say. First, the request that she secured for the water district was the largest request for in the environmental request column, if you will, for her. The second thing I would say is that we still have the $15 million funding request pending in the Senate appropriations bill development, if you will, over the next month to 6 weeks timeframe. So as far as absolute dollars are concerned, the $15 million is still in play, but I do want to suggest to you that usually when any of these earmark requests go in, the Committee on Appropriations tends to cut back the members' request to accommodate other requests. That being said, assuming, and I want to make a cautionary note, assuming that we don't go to a continuing resolution later this fall during the lame duck, that they actually do move a final spending bill for the agency as well as the rest of the departments, you can, I shouldn't say this out loud, but you can be pretty comfortable in assuming that you will at least get $5 million because the way these things work is that the House and the Senate tend not to disagree with the other chamber's earmarks and accept them. And the only disagreement would be if the Senate puts more money into the cleanup effort, which we hope will happen, they defer usually to the larger earmark request. So that's where we are on funding. I think parenthetically, though, I would also add that funding comes through, it would then lead to a much more robust argument to the EPA to give the water district additional funding for the cleanup effort through the PFAS infrastructure assistance package of about $5 billion over the next couple of years to deal with PFAS contamination. So that's sort of, call it a loss leader if you end up with 5 million rather than 15 million, but it will help in making the case to the agency that you need some more funding and to the state through their funding. So that's where we are, Chair Bilodeau, on appropriations. With respect to PFAS, I can report to you that we remain in a situation where the legislative branch on the Senate side is resistant to imposing liability on relative to CERCLA designation. That being the case, that goes to the House passed PFAS Action Act that would have done that. That being the case, two things have transpired over the last 2 weeks. The first is that the EPA spending bill that I just talked about contains language in it, report language, that says to EPA, go forth and continue your efforts to designate hazardous substance status to PFAS under CERCLA. The second thing that is, that's a regulatory operation that's going forward. The second thing that's going on is the agency released its what's called the Unified Regulatory Agenda, detailing its priorities over the next 6 months. In that agenda was a commitment to issue a proposed rule to designate the two chemicals on or around the month of November 2022. That would be a proposed rule. And I would argue to you, I'm not a lawyer, so I'll defer to Don Gilbert, but the Supreme Court's decision on the Clean Air Act and the Clean Power authorities that the agency has to dictate how utilities are supposed to comply with greenhouse gas emission reductions, and the court's statement saying that the agency did not have the authority to go that broadly and mandate emission reductions. That same logic, most we think, will apply to the CERCLA designation. The agency is going beyond its authority under CERCLA to designate a chemical as a subject to hazardous substance consideration. So I guess at the end of the day, when this rule comes out, it'll be subject to public comment for at least 45 days, moving into December. Agency will then issue a final rule sometime probably in December or January of 23. And at that point, the litigation will start to stop the agency's designation as exceeding its authority under Superfund is our expectation. So that's where we are on PFAS litigation, or excuse me, liability. And as far as standard setting goes, I just came out of a meeting with EPA literally moments ago, talking about PFAS and where they are. And the agency is still collecting data on the heels of the health advisory that it released for drinking water, but they are also on a glide path to issue a proposed drinking water standard in late 2022. So that's where we are, Chair Bilodeau, on PFAS, to sort of a quick summary. Finally,
I have a question on the PFAS, if I may interrupt before we go. Going back to the appropriations, is there a reason why we didn't ask for, say, $30 million or $50 million? Why did we pick 15? I thought I heard a $30 million number out there at one point.
President Shadow, I don't recall the $30 million, but I'll take it as a given. My recommendation was basically what we've heard, and we looked at the earmarks of last year in this sort of area of water quality, drinking water, and the feedback we got from folks is give us a credible number in the sense of how much you can use, or that we can go to the Appropriations Committee that doesn't look, excuse this word, but doesn't look greedy relative to what other people are asking for. So we said, $15 million passes the laugh test with respect to a submission to the Committee on Appropriations, given what most of the funding recommendations are that come out of the committee. If we went too high, it would be kicked back as this is ridiculous. If we hit a sweet spot, maybe we get closer to the $15 million. But the way the committee worked it right now, the Appropriations Committee came up with a recommendation they would give $5 million. So,
okay. Yes. Okay. So my next, for context, is there like an overall budget for earmarks, or was there a PFAS budget that others were asking for PFAS, or is it just an overall pork? Here's the pork, that we have available, and everyone gets a little piece of it.
That's right. So there is a ceiling of 1% of the total budget that is appropriated for what we're calling community projects. That 1% number is bifurcated between the Republican side and the Democratic side, between the House and the Senate side. And then hopefully what happens is the numbers are somewhat equitable. In this case, what happened was that more Republican requests were submitted and funded apparently in the House overall than in Democratic request.
What was the total pot of money available?
1%, I'm going to say probably around $800 million thereabouts.
What were the other larger than 5 million amounts that were?
Excuse me?
Congresswoman Kim, you mentioned this was just this one category. There were other amounts that were larger that she was successful in receiving allocations for. What were those?
I would have to, I'll go back and get that number because it's like transportation, it's housing and things like that. But I do know from looking at the quote EPA numbers, she had two requests. I believe one was about $2 million in the environmental account and the other was $5 million for you folks.
I've seen cities like, I know Anaheim has received money from Congressman Correa and Garden Grove. Congressman Correa did an earmark for for rehabilitating Harbor Boulevard from Catella South to Garden Grove Boulevard. And there's all these hotels on that stretch. It just seems when you balance things out, that received $5 million. It seems like that we should have received a lot more than $5 million.
Eric, did we ask Congressman Correa for assistance on this program? Because I know that he did.
Yeah, Alicia, I believe we've submitted requests to all the members. Maybe she can hear. Yes, it's my understanding we submitted requests for the funding for all the members.
Did Congressman Correa submit a request on our behalf?
No.
Did Congresswoman Porter submit a request on our behalf?
No.
Okay, so Congressman
Representative Kim was the only member who submitted.
And most of the problem is in her new 40th congressional district.
Yes. And the other thing is, President Sheldon, oftentimes what happens, you can't point directly to it, but sometimes the members will talk about, because they're limited to the number of requests they can make. They can't just throw everything at the wall and hope that it sticks. So they will communicate amongst themselves about what their priorities are, what they're going to ask for.
Thank you.
Okay. Yeah, I think it's worth having a follow-up with Congressman Correa, given the impact of PFAS in the Santa Ana and Garden Grove areas, to understand why we weren't given a priority, perhaps by him. But I do understand maybe there's some overlap with Congresswoman Kim, and maybe there's something we're not aware of that's going on in the background.
I do know his request for the Harbor Boulevard project was basically to benefit the hotels along Harbor.
Yeah, but that might be a different pot though, because that's
my point is weighing that versus weighing the water quality and.
Yeah, no, I get it. There's some disconnect there, and I think we got to figure that out. Okay. Okay, Eric, were you finished with your presentation, Eric? You had one more issue.
I was just going to go quickly into a summary of the STREAM Act that Senator Feinstein has introduced, S-4230.
Eric, before you do that, I'm going to have to hand the meeting off. I'm having a blood draw done, and I'm kind of interrupting the flow here. I think is director, who's the vice chair? Is it Director Yeo, I believe?
No, the director, Director Green.
Okay, I'm gonna formally hand it off to you, Kathy, just so I don't interrupt anything. So thank you.
No problem. Okay, Eric.
So as background, Senator Feinstein has been trying for a couple of years to figure out how to extend the expired authorizations of the WIN Act. This was her provisions in an overall WERDA bill to provide funding for water storage, desal, and ecosystem restoration efforts, in summary. The infrastructure law that was enacted into law last year basically provides $1.5 billion for Western water, but specifically about $1 billion thereabouts for California water needs, storage and what have you. So what she has done is put together a new bill that essentially reauthorizes expired provisions, which essentially of WIN, which essentially is water storage. Now, what she has done, and I think your package contains some overall numbers, I'm hoping. She's basically saying over the next 5 years, I want to give $750 million to promote the construction of water supply storage projects. And then there's smaller numbers, $300 million to increase the Water Smart program to promote water recycling and innovation in the delivery of drinking water in the West. And then there's about $200 odd million for the promotion and construction of desal projects. And that would be both ocean and inland brackish. The legislation has received a hearing by the Senate Energy and Natural Resources Committee, which is why we submitted this bill, just so you had an understanding that it was out there. The reason it got a hearing is that the committee had a whole series of bills that they had essentially a rapid round robin of this is an interesting bill, it's good. The Feinstein bill seems to have bipartisan support in the committee because it does provide some assistance for Western water systems that are smaller, like in Wyoming and Montana. And at the end of this whole discussion, we think what's going on here after talking to Senator Feinstein's office is that this is being done. The legislative hearings have been done so that they can then move toward a development of an omnibus drought response package in the lame duck session that would include this bill and a host of other West-wide water drought response bills. So that's where we're at. I would emphasize that this is still a work in progress. It has to be moved through the Senate. They have to put together a comprehensive package to go through the Senate, and then it still has to be considered by the House of Representatives. So we have a long way to go. And like I said, this will probably be dealt with in the lame duck. And at the end of the day, should the Congress flip, which looks more likely than not on the House side and a flip of the coin on the Senate side, it's unclear whether an omnibus package like this would make it through the lame duck. But there does seem to be on both sides of the aisle a deep concern over the scarcity of water in the West relative to the Colorado River, and Arizona in general, and in California specifically. So I will be happy to stop there and answer any questions or provide additional details.
Any okay, okay, Kathy, I have questions. Thank you. I want to follow up on my emails with staff where it was represented to me that California will receive on average 1 million acre feet of additional water per year from this overall effort. And I wanted to get some background on how that's substantiated. Do you have that information, Eric?
I can give you the background where that number comes from, and then I'll get you some more information for your background and sort of documentation.
So you don't have the number?
Well, I do have the background right now. So what the Feinstein folks are saying is with this additional money going to Sites Reservoir, for example, this additional money going to Metropolitan Water District's big water recycling project, all these other projects that are part of the WIN process that have already received some authorizations for construction for the Bureau of Reclamation that in California, enlarged Los Vaqueros, for example, that this would yield, based on their projections, an additional 1 million acre feet of water in total.
Per year
for California. Right. So what they're saying, but again, your point is well taken. This number is based on the projects being constructed. And this is an authorization, right? So we have to get it first. It has to be authorized, and then you got to get the money.
So will this funding complete all of the funds necessary for sites to commence construction?
So the assumption is that sites has the financial ability to meet its cost share, and it would to build it. And so the federal funding, yes, it would be complementary to what the non-federal share is.
Do we know that sites, we said there's an assumption that they can meet it. Do we know that they can meet it?
Well, they have made the case that, you know, they get the federal money, the 25% federal cost share. They're ready to rock and roll.
When would they be given when would that check come?
Well, they've started getting some money under the WIN Act from the Bureau of Reclamation. And assuming, as I understand it, construction of sites is like a decades long project. So, you know, assuming that, you know, they've got the infrastructure money that was enacted. So there's $1 billion sitting there, and sites could get close to, I think, I better not give a number, but they should be a favored candidate to get a fair amount of that $1 billion dedicated to water supply storage. And then if another tranche of money through something like the STREAM Act were enacted into law and funded, then you would assume that they, because they are an ongoing project, that they would get as whatever Congress appropriated, they would probably get a fair amount of that funding. And then, of course, exclusive of the federal assistance, I assume the state would continue to fund its the site's effort too.
Would it continue to fund their obligation?
Yeah, right. Okay.
So and that comes online in 10 years.
That's the number I've heard. That's about it. Right. It's a round number, right? But they keep saying it's about a decade to construct.
So we need water a little sooner than that. I know the reserves by the Metropolitan Water District are, I believe, down to 1.8 million acre feet, and they utilized 700,000 last year, and perhaps you utilize the same. If John Kennedy is here, if you want to correct my numbers. So they're slowly going down with water, and then we hit a certain point and we allocate a ration. We've got to identify large, you know, we had the Poseidon project that was 50,000 acre feet, but we've got to identify water supply that can come online in the next 3 to 5 years. That's when we need water, according to what's happening right now. And I wish there could be some. I've asked our board policy has included having the state and the federal government communicate as to how to, you know, best use their funds together. Doesn't feel to me that that's happened, and we need to continue to encourage that, and we need to have large water supply projects constructed and as soon as possible. I appreciate the 10 years, but we need to continue that one, but also focus the rest of the funds on things that'll happen very quickly.
Mr. President, Duluru and Waco, we will have Jerry Brown of Sites speaking.
Wonderful. Thank you very much. Those are my thoughts.
I'm sorry, Eric. I interrupted.
And Eric, I am interested in the list because I am concerned that a lot of times these funds just get all spread out and they don't, at the end of the day, end up with large, meaningful, large water supply infrastructure projects.
So I couldn't agree more with you. I think the answer in response to you thinking forward, sort of forward, is as the Bureau of Reclamation is starting to implement a 2 million acre foot cut on the Colorado River because of basically the shortage of water that you're referring to, the time, I think, my recommendation would be to articulate to the delegation, to the Bureau, the kind of message that you're talking about, President Sheldon, and just sort of say, look, all these things that are out there are great, but we need to move today, not tomorrow. And you've got infrastructure money and we need to get it in the field for projects that are big.
So I'll just say the Bureau of Reclamation, I'm sure, is very acutely aware of our water problem. I observed their, director? Would director be the correct administrator? Director is the title.
Oh. The commissioner.
What is her name?
Camille Touton.
Yes. Testifying before a Senate committee, U.S. Senator Michael Lee asking questions, and she was saying how the Bureau of Reclamation hired 85 staff members and they've administrated all these tens or hundreds of millions of dollars of grants, et cetera, et cetera. And to me, you know, that's just that, that's exactly what we don't want. We don't want, you know, again, the trinkets and the gifts. We want large projects, and they're going in a different direction. I feel, I'll say that many feel that our oil supply problem comes sometimes. People know what they're doing, and it's just very strange why we have these prices. And I feel that our water supply problem, we have very intelligent, smart people in these organizations, and I'm not seeing the kind of action one might think if we're gonna have dire straits in 3 to 5 years. I'm just, you know, the ship just keeps going on, and there's no real sense of urgency that we have to have large water supply projects coming online. So I don't understand the thinking.
Okay. Alicia, do you have a question or comment?
My comment was from the PFAS topic regarding the earmark from Congresswoman Kim. When we met with her at Yorba Linda on the 30th of June, she mentioned that she is going to work with Congresswoman Steele to next year advocate for more funding for OCWD's PFAS cleanup project. She knows that $5 million is a drop in the bucket for the total cost of PFAS, and she is going to work next year as well for more earmark funding. Just wanted to bring that up.
Thank you. Any other questions, comments? Okay. We have a recommended action of support. Do we have a motion?
I move the recommended action.
Do we have a second?
Director Whitaker seconds.
Okay.
Roll call. Director Green?
Yes.
Director Yeo?
Yes.
Director Whitaker?
Aye.
Director Ta?
Yes.
Director Rowe? Director Rowe?
Director Bilodeau is here, and I do vote yes.
I'll say yes. I just wasn't expecting to be called on.
Okay. That motion carries with 5 yes votes.
Okay. Moving on to the summit, the OC Water Summit update.
Thank you, Chair Green. And Christina, may I share the screen? Thank you. Okay, I have a brief presentation. Can everyone see that okay?
Uh-huh, yes.
Okay, so the brief update on the 2022 OC Water Summit. Each year we alternate, and so this year MODOC is taking the lead in planning it. The summit is going to be taking place Friday, September 6th at the Disney's Grand Californian. And the theme is California Dreaming, Making Water Infrastructure a Reality. So you'll see on the right side that a save the date and graphics have been created and will be sent out shortly. The master of ceremonies is confirmed as Fritz Coleman, and we are going to be opening up registration soon. Our next planning committee meeting with the ad hoc committee is July 11th, where they'll continue to work on and refine the program. So far, there are 5 sessions that will be part of the summit. It will be similar to last year in that the sessions will, you know, we'll try to avoid PowerPoints, make it engaging, get down to real kind of shorter, tighter discussions, and bring up the issues that we all want to hear about, not what is typical at conferences. So we will have the big LED screen in back to create a more engaging summit, and then also have the networking lunch at the end of the session. So definitely more to come on the program. These are just some of the confirmed speakers to date, but we'll go ahead and bring something back to the committee next month when more of it should be finalized. And that concludes my update on the summit, unless there's any questions.
Any questions? I'm not seeing, let's see. I'm not seeing any hands at all.
No hands.
Okay. Let's go on to, to Public Affairs Outreach Report.
Thank you, Chair Green. And Christina, if I may share, I just have a couple of slides. Thank you. Okay, so the Public Affairs Outreach Report was for April, May, and June. Some of the highlights are below. We continue to have both in-person and virtual tours. And we will continue that. There seems to be a strong desire for some folks to continue with virtual. So we are offering both, whatever works best for the guests. So we continue to have a robust tour and speakers program. We also continue our bi-monthly webinar series. So the last one was hosted by John Kennedy about our water supply. And we had 155 webinar attendees, and then folks continue to watch it and view it on demand. And we continue to share that through our newsletter and through our social media as well. We also continue to implement our field trip programs, working with Inside the Outdoors, which is under the Department of Education. So during this period, we educated more than about 550 students through both our Prado Wetlands field trip and our Next Generation Water Leaders program. And working with Inside the Outdoors, we are trying to work to meet the school's needs and offering it in both a virtual and pivoting to in-person, you know, when the schools are able to. And then we also continue to issue, we had 5 press releases, 18 videos, and then we hosted a community meeting for the South Basin Project at the Delhi Neighborhood Association to give an update on the South Basin Project, and Director Nalita Mendoza was in attendance as well. For this period of 3 months, we did have a global media reach to 4.85 billion people. And then just a little bit about our website visits and social media. We continue to garner about 25,000 unique website visits. Our social media platforms continue to grow with 14,000 plus social media followers. And then here's a sampling down here with President Sheldon and CBS reporter Michelle Julie, as well as our PFAS plant here on the right, that were our top post and received about 12,000 plus impressions. This period for awards, there were 3 awards received in conjunction with Yorba Belinda for the treatment plant, as well as our lab manager, supervising chemist Lily Wong, who received an award as well. So we were able to get press releases and recognition about those out. In May, we also hosted our Yorba Linda PFAS treatment plant dedication with approximately 100 people in attendance, including water professionals, project partners, and elected officials as well. A look ahead, we are going to be planning a similar event at Serrano Water District for their PFAS plant on September 23rd. As I mentioned, the summit is coming up September 16th. And then staff is working on planning events and recognition items to commemorate next year, both OCWD's 90th anniversary, as well as the GWS final expansion and the 15th anniversary of the groundwater replenishment system. So more to come on those. And then our July webinar will be focused on SARCUP with OCWD and some of the project partners participating. So we look forward to that as well. And that concludes my update, unless there are any questions.
Thank you. Any questions? Any comments? Okay, I'm not seeing any hands. All right. Next, PFAS funding update.
I think we've already covered that subject, Madam Chair.
I was going to say, okay. Can we put everything on the consent calendar from today's meeting? Do we have any director's announcements, reports?
I'd like to make one comment, if I may. You know, in regards to the public affairs report, you know, as the board president, I don't interface much with the lab. I don't interface much with, you know, folks that do all the accounting, but I do interface a whole lot with the public affairs department. And as it relates to the outreach, it relates to hosting the tours and various things, I think there in my experience in public affairs, and that those items, I think they do an outstanding job at, and Gina is to be complimented on many of those things. So I just want to just put that out there and say thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Okay. General Manager?
Nothing to report, Madam Chair.
Okay, we are adjourned. Have a good day, everyone.
Bye-bye.
Bye.